Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dakota Digest. I'm Nate Weck, and thanks for joining me. This is the top news and programming of South Dakota Public Broadcasting for the week ending February 12th. A bill that mandates accommodations for transgender students to use bathrooms and locker rooms in public schools is on its way to the state Senate floor. An education committee Thursday voted to pass House Bill 1008. As SDPB's Keely Boltina reports, supporters say the measure protects students' privacy. Opponents say it's discrimination.
35 state senators now get to weigh in on what's become known as the Transgender Bathroom Bill. House Bill 1008 had its last committee hearing Thursday, which means everyday citizens had their last chance to go on the record with lawmakers. Thomas Wayne Lewis is a student at Sioux Falls Lincoln High School. He's a transgender male who opposes the bill.
That hurts. It makes us feel like we're all alone in the world and that the stigma that we face already is real and it's worse. It makes me feel like I am not human, that I don't deserve the same human treatment that a cisgender person, a person that identifies as male or female at birth. It feels like I don't belong there. I'm just going to be put in a box that is the problem box that, you know, no one wants to deal with me.
Lawmakers listened to Lewis and additional advocates against the bill. They also heard from people who support keeping students of opposite biological sex out of gender-specific bathrooms. Florence Thompson represents South Dakota Citizens for Liberty.
We believe this bill is the best solution to protect the innocence of children, as well as the right of all children to be secure in their persons. It allows for the sensitive accommodation of students who are experiencing personal trials and does so without giving preferential treatment to a tiny segment of the student population at the expense of the privacy rights of the vast majority.
Lawmakers voted 4-2 in favor of House Bill 1008. Committee Chair Deb Soholt says legislators who voted for the measure Thursday may not fully support it. She says some believe that the full Senate should have an opportunity to decide. If the Senate body approves the transgender bathroom bill, it goes to the governor's desk.
Debate on a possible tax hike to fund education is stalled in the state house until next week. Educators who support more money for teacher pay packed the gallery at the state house. As representatives started work on part of a new education plan for South Dakota, discussion stopped when a fraction of lawmakers invoked a special rule. SDPB's Keely Boltina, who has been covering education throughout the legislative session, also has more on this story.
House Bill 1182 is the funding mechanism for Governor Dennis Dugard's education plan. It raises the sales tax 0.5% to benefit teacher salaries and offer some property tax relief. The measure passed unanimously out of committee earlier this week with more than an hour of testimony in favor of the bill. Members of the House of Representatives began debate on 1182 with Blue Ribbon Task Force co-chair State Representative Jacqueline Sly.
We looked at several options for funding sources, including state sales tax, seasonal sales tax, rural sales tax, cigarette and alcohol taxes, corporate income tax to include bank franchise tax. What we found is that the state sales tax was the most proven, stable, and has potential for growth.
Some lawmakers tried to amend the bill to strip an emergency clause that initiates the tax hike ahead of the typical July 1st start. That failed. Another lawmaker introduced a second amendment to the bill. Right after initial remarks, State Representative Jim Stalzer addressed the chamber.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to invoke Joint Rule 5-17.
Representative Stalzer would like to invoke Rule 5-17. Is he supported? Those who would like to basically delay the action on the amendment for one intervening day. He is supported.
Speaker Dean Wink counted more than one-fifth of lawmakers who agree to the delay. That means House members have to wait until Tuesday at the earliest to resume debate on the amendment and on the education funding measure, House Bill 1182.
State lawmakers heard statements on a bill allowing the use of medical marijuana in South Dakota. The measure is deferred until next week to allow for more testimony. SDPB's Jennifer Jones reports.
Proponents of Senate Bill 171 shared stories of chronic pain, migraines, seizures, illnesses, and disorders that they or their children experience on a daily basis. They say pharmaceuticals are ineffective, addictive, or damaging. Some say they've only found relief through using marijuana. Raina Parker has a disorder that causes her chronic pain.
I beg you out of compassion to have consideration for people like me and, you know, people like others in this room who are disabled that really don't have healthy options left to us. I am human. I want to be a productive human being, and I want to be a whole human being. And that's an opportunity I do not have in the state of South Dakota right now.
Members of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee heard opponent testimony from people representing law enforcement organizations, including the South Dakota Sheriff's Association and the South Dakota Police Chiefs Association, among others. They say the bill hinders their ability to uphold the Constitution since marijuana possession violates federal law. Representative Leslie Heineman, who has MS, spoke against the bill, saying marijuana is addictive and especially damaging for developing brains. He says the benefits do not outweigh the risk.
The long-term effects of its users, the effects on our society, the abuse that has occurred, especially in increased use in our youth, where states have legalized it, they all tell me, the statistics tell me, as a licensed drug prescriber, as a brother of an epileptic, and as myself, that adopting Senate Bill 171 is not right for South Dakota.
The bill is deferred until next week when committee members will hear more testimony.
The state gymnastics meet is taking place in Brookings this weekend. Sioux Falls O'Gorman head gymnastics coach Sky Bork is in her first year with the team. She says she's optimistic with how her squad will do.
I think they have a good chance. We need to do what we do best. And if we do that, we will be just fine. And we have a chance to be up there. We're in the top three teams. We're one of the teams to watch for that state title. And I think that it's important that the girls just go out there and do what they can and do it as best they can.
If you want to hear the full interview, visit sdpb.org/gymnastics. Also on our gymnastics webpage, we have a video stream to the event. The Rosebud Sioux Tribe has begun an effort to repatriate remains of tribal members who died while attending the Carlisle Indian Industrial School in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. We spoke with the tribe's historic preservation officer about the history of Lakota students at the school and what's being done to bring home their remains. SDPB's Jim Kent has more.
The Rosebud Sioux Tribe has been gathering information about how to repatriate the remains of at least 10 Lakota students who died at Carlisle in the 19th century. Knowing the students' remains are there is one thing, says Tribal Historic Preservation Officer Russell Eaglebear. Getting approval to repatriate them may be quite another.
They wanted proof of relationship, proof of consent and authority on behalf of the family, and an affidavit or court order showing all of the family is represented and consent to the proposed course of action, consent of the tribe or Indian nation involved.
A waiver of any liability against the federal government, and the list goes on. Eaglebear says the current move to return the remains of Lakota students who attended Carlisle came after a youth group from the tribe visited the site of the country's first federally funded boarding school.
Once they saw what was there and the way it was set up, they came back with questions, and they started that process of asking why can't we bring our relatives home, you know, because they've been there for over 130 years.
The Carlisle Indian Industrial School was founded in 1879 by U.S. Army Captain Henry Pratt, who fought for the Union during the Civil War. He also took part in a variety of campaigns against the Plains Indians, including the Battle of the Washita, where some 200 Cheyenne men, women, and children were killed by the 7th Cavalry. Pratt's goal at the Carlisle Indian Industrial School was to kill the Indian to save the man. Mika Lunderman is a suicide prevention mentor for the Rosebud Sioux Tribe. She was with the tribal youth group that visited Carlisle last year.
Before we left, we went to the cemetery, and it was very emotional for our children that went to the cemetery. They said a prayer, they sang a prayer song, and they each left a piece of candy for each of the graves.
Students from the Rosebud Sioux Tribe who died at Carlisle ranged in age from 10 to 18 years old. Russell Eaglebear says the Rosebud Sioux Tribe is working with other Native American nations whose students died at Carlisle to bring their remains home as well, including the Northern Arapaho and the Oglala Sioux. In the end, notes Eagle Bear, the decision on whether or not to permit the repatriation rests with the commanding officer of what is now the U.S. Army War College at Carlisle. That's because the site is an active military base. Eagle Bear has also learned that the Native American Graves and Repatriation Act, which protects Native remains and funerary objects, doesn't apply to active military bases. The Rosebud Sioux Tribe has petitioned the South Dakota congressional team for assistance with the repatriation and also plans to ask President Obama to intercede. Like the American military, says Eagle Bear, the Lakota people have a tradition of bringing the remains of their dead home for their final rest. Being able to repatriate the student remains at Carlisle, he notes, would help their families, as well as the entire tribe, to heal.
And that's going to do it for another week of Dakota Digest. If you'd like to hear more radio news stories or view additional programming of South Dakota Public Broadcasting, visit us online at sdpb.org. Be sure to also connect with us on social media by liking South Dakota Public Broadcasting on Facebook and by following our Twitter accounts. Our handles are at SODACPB, at SDPB, at SDPB News, and at SDPB Sports. I'm Nate Weck for South Dakota Public Broadcasting.